We're beginning a new series on the Jewish home. And as always, I begin with a few points of disclaimers. Number one is I never wanted to give this class to begin with. One of our guys was dating a girl. Hashem should bless her and she should find her spouse speedily. And she called me up and said, this guy has no clue what a Jewish home is supposed to look like. You know, he's a nice guy, but he doesn't know what we're talking about when we talk about building a home. So after citing some examples, which I don't remember anymore, I had to agree with her that she was right. So I went to Rav Listman and I said, we need a class on the Jewish home. So he said, great idea. He said, the youngest staff member here, that was before some of the staff joined. So I think someone with a white beard with more experience should give it. He said, fine. 3 weeks later, no such class had started. I came back to Rav Listman. He said, great idea. I said, someone with a white beard should give it. He said, fine. 3 weeks later, no such class is running. I come back and I say, Rav Listman, you know, it's an important class. And he said, well, if you didn't get the hint yet, it's time you got it. You'll give it, it'll happen. You won't give it, it won't happen. Your choice. It's a great idea. Now you decide. Okay. So then I was faced with a perplexing question. Are you guys better off with the class or without it? And I wasn't sure. So I always said this disclaimer. But now, after the better half of a decade has passed with this class ongoing, and I've already gotten the feedback from married people, I hope, I know this class has done some good for some people, and I hope that it will do more good than harm, and that you guys will actually benefit from it. That's my goal, and that's my prayer, and I invite you to look at the resources you have. There are many good books on the Jewish home. I am young, and I feel inadequate. I'm giving this class because I was cornered to giving this class. So I hope that it will be beneficial. So that's point number one. Point number two, our class should not be confused with a dating class. Our class begins the night of the wedding. Our class does not begin when you're dating. At the very end of the year, we shift and we have a series on how to date and how to find the right wife. We're talking about building the relationship from after you walk out from the chuppah, from when you put that ring on her finger and said, "Harei at mekudeshet li betabat zo kedat Moshe v'Yisrael," and now you are legally married. From that moment onward, our class begins. Everything that we're discussing is after the understanding that you've come to the conclusion that she is the one and she has decided you are the one and you two have committed and married, and now our class begins. The question of how to choose a spouse, find a spouse, etc., that's in our dating class. If you're very curious, you could go online and listen to previous year's series. Any questions still here? Yes?
Why would you do this class before the dating class?
If you still have that question at the end of the class, ask it again, okay? Okay, so now let's begin. One of the greatest gifts that Hashem gave us, quite possibly the greatest gift, is the capacity to get married. And in marriage, what a person is really doing, what a person is accomplishing in marriage, is that he is completing himself. We view our wives as an extension of ourselves. Not only Adam was cut in half when Adam and Eve were created. Every one of us has a missing component that we are desperately searching for. And the great gift that Hashem gave us, that great capacity to find wholeness, to find tranquility, to find happiness, to find stability, that is the gift of marriage. And I am happy and sad at the same time to inform you that 90% of the world at least will tell you that they haven't found happiness in marriage. They have not found what we just described. They have found frustration, they have found anger, they have found disappointment. And so our goal is to understand how do you find that? Because marriage has the capacity. There's a reason why everyone gets married. Marriage can give a person everything he's looking for in life. Obviously, marriage involves living life together and building together. It's not that you got married, that's it. I don't have to go to work tomorrow, I'm married, right? I don't have to deal with life, I'm married. No, it doesn't work that way. But in all of life, I have that sacred partner. I have that gift that Hashem gave me, that I'm going to go through life with a partner that I am dying to share my life with, a partner who I enjoy their company, who I want to come home to. I might spend 80% of my day out of the house, but those 20%, that's what I live for. And those 20% are with me my whole life. But how do you get there? Can't be so simple if the whole world is trying and most of the world is failing. That is the focus of our class. That is what we will be discussing for the next 8 months. And we have to realize that it can't be so simple if most marriages end in divorce. And it can be attainable. But how do you get there? And when a person adds to the question the component of a Jewish home, so then the question on the one hand becomes more complex, on the other hand becomes more simple. How so? It becomes more complex because there's another aspect here. Hey, wait a second. This isn't just two monkeys, two cats, two dogs getting together. These are two human beings that have a system they have to live with. So that could add complexity. It becomes more simple because it's not just about, hey, you're getting on my nerves, could you please be quiet? And I just said nice words. And you can just imagine that that's not exactly how a husband and wife are going to talk when they're two cats or dogs or monkeys living together. Suddenly, there's a third party in our marriage. God is here. And I have to behave like a Jew with regards to my wife, whether I like it or not. And she could be the most annoying person in the world right now to me, but I still have to live up to the system, and that makes it more simple to build a good marriage. So on the one hand, you could view Judaism as making marriage more complex. On the other hand, you could view it as making it more simple, and they're both true. Both aspects are true. And I think that through this class, a person can develop within themselves and learn to develop themselves. As you are growing in your understanding of Judaism, and as you are growing in your understanding of halacha, and as you're growing and developing your traits, so you will develop them in ways that will hopefully prepare you to build a good home. And that's why this class comes before the dating class. The dating class is a practical question. How do you find the right one? Fine. From my perspective, you could catch it online. You want it live, we'll discuss it live. The marriage class is really the question of how do you live a Jewish life? Because all the traits that you're building now are put to test on a much harsher plane within a marriage. Because now you're face to face. There's no escaping. Your roommate, you can escape. Your parents, you can escape. Your siblings, you can escape. You ain't escaping your wife. I mean, you could go to work, but you're going to come back home at the end of the day. And you two are going to end up in the same bedroom for the night. And you have to make it work. So there's an aspect where everything you're developing now is preparatory. These are skills that will help you in building a beautiful home. How do we get there? Again, the home has the potential to fulfill all of our dreams, to give us that wholeness that every person desires, that companionship that everyone desires, that serenity that everyone desires, feeling loved, giving love, all the emotional and spiritual needs that a person has, almost all, can be found in the home. How do you get there? So let's pause and shift screens. Okay, close that window, maximize the next one. Zoom, we're zooming into England. The year is 2012. And the star gymnast gets on the platform. And the Olympics were this year, right? Yeah. You're all looking at me weirdly. Okay. I didn't either see any of it. But Okay, so the gymnast runs forward and does the greatest performance in swift, smooth motions, and all the judges pick up a 10, a 10, a 10. And a little kid walks over to him and says, "That was so amazing. That seemed so easy. Could you show me how to do that?" So he looks at him and he thinks, "What am I supposed to tell you, kid?" If you've seen a beautiful marriage and you're thinking to yourself, "How do I get there?" So you should realize one of two things. Either you don't know what's going on. Many people behave very nicely and lovey-dovey and everything's great in front of other people. But wait till you leave the house and you don't know what bada-boof, bada-bim, bada-bang goes on when you're not there, right? You don't know. You don't know. But if you're right that they succeeded in building a beautiful marriage, then they did just that. They built a beautiful marriage, no different than the gymnast. It took a lot of work. There is a misconception, and this is our first point today. We said, marriage can fulfill all our dreams and our desires, but we have to be prepared. Point number one, it's going to involve work. It's like the kid going to the gymnast and saying, "That seemed so smooth, that seemed so easy, how am I going to do that?" Yeah, when you see a marriage that works, it seems so smooth, it seems so easy. He says something that might have been hurtful to her and she just laughs it off. She says something, he might have gotten offended and he doesn't. Wow, they have such chemistry. Baloney. They built such chemistry. You don't have chemistry. There's no such thing. You can have chemistry that'll take you only so far. And then you're going to reach the point where you can't stand the person. You're going to reach the point where you look at the person and say, "Hey, wait a second, what did I get myself into here?" Every marriage reaches a point where it's tough. This isn't fun. This isn't what I thought it would be. And that's where you have to start working. And that's where most people ditch out. It's no question why over 50% of marriages are failures. The question is how any of them exist, how any of them survive. Marriage isn't easy. Marriage is beautiful. Marriage is great. Marriage is every blessing, almost every blessing you can imagine. But it involves so much work. Because by the mere nature of two people being put under one roof and there's no escape, at the end of the day you're together, so you can go to work and at the end of the day you're back home. "What'd you tell me this morning, Stefan, about my toast? What was it you said about my toast? Oh, it was so tasty, right? You wish you would have said that this morning." If you would have said that this morning, you would have had supper tonight. You got to go back home and make it work. So that's what we're going to be discussing this year. How do you make that work? And the first rule is you have to be prepared to work. You have to be prepared to realize there's nothing wrong with this marriage. We live in this la-la land where we think there are those great marriages and miserable marriages. And either you're the one of those lucky ones that just landed into great marriage, or, well, you're one of the rest of us, right? No, it doesn't work that way. There are those that worked and made it into a great marriage, and those that didn't. There's no other formula. You can find Mrs. Wright, and you can find her second marriage and a third marriage. It has nothing to do with whether she's Mrs. Wright or not. The question is, are you willing to work to make it work? Yes, Mr. Wright.
But I was gonna say, oh yeah, I mean, when I first started trying to get on the dating scene, I asked some married couples to tell me, they're like, "Oh well, you know, marriage isn't all that great. What are you getting into it for? I mean, you know, it's not that great." And they're telling me like, "Oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, and it's not that." I felt sorry for them because like, I think part of being married is you got to remember what it was like being like single now. And saying like, you know what, it's not all that great being single either. And some of the reasons why people make it work in marriage is
they don't want to go back to what they were being before.
Yes.
It's a much worse alternative. I mean, which I told this person, and they seem to agree with me. I'm like, as miserable as you are now, picture yourself without your spouse. Are you more or less miserable? She's like, And started thinking. So I think that's why people make it work. And would you agree that that's a great tool to use, is looking back and thinking, okay, like, would it be more miserable or less miserable without this person?
So, for starters, some interpret the verse Moshiv Yechidim Baita Motzi Asirim Bakosharot with that thought in mind, that when Hashem is described as He who takes individuals and places them in a home, two individuals, he's single, she's single, now they're in a home, and then they're bound. What binds them together? So according to some, that's that idea of loneliness, the fear of being all alone your whole life. Yes, that is what binds people together. But I think that's like really, really rudimentary. That's like, you know, starting out fine, you can make it work. I won't pull your pigtails, you won't spit in my face. Okay, we can make it work. Wow. I think we have to move on from there. I don't think that a marriage that's predicated on the fear of loneliness will fulfill all those needs, desires that we described earlier. And how do we advance? So we said step number one, be prepared to work. Okay? You guys ready for step number two?
So scared.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you're going to go into more detail, but can you explain what do you mean? Or what kind of work should we be prepared for?
Yeah, that's the whole year we're going to discuss that. But first, we have to be prepared to acknowledge that our marriage can work. Meaning, what usually happens is that people start saying, well, maybe she wasn't Mrs. Wright. You know, I have a bashert up in heaven. They decided 40 days before I was born who I would marry. And maybe she wasn't it. And so then people get all religious on you. But that's why before we start talking about how to work, we have to be prepared to work. We have to nix that idea of, well, this didn't work. Some marriages work and this one just didn't. No. Every marriage requires a tremendous amount of work. And yours is no different. So, how do I actually illustrate this point? So, let me describe to you a standard conversation I have on average every 2 months. Okay? Guy gets married and calls me up and says, we have to talk. And I say, you're so right. I'm so happy you called. I've been meaning to tell you this. She's a witch. She is, a witch is like good to, that's even nice to describe her. You know, when she tells you she's going out to work, you're always tempted to offer her the broomstick, right? So there's silence at the other end of the phone, and then the guy says, Rabbi, I don't get it. Now I'm married 2 months. Now you tell me this. If you knew all along, why didn't you tell me this in the first place, right? And I say, buddy, I had this conversation 2 months ago, 4 months ago, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. So it's your turn this month. Everyone thinks that. I don't believe that. I know my neighbors. They're married, they're happy, and everything's good. Right, you think you know. You don't know. I'm telling you, everyone thinks that. So, as much as you'll hear that at some point within a marriage, you reach real hardships, when it happens, you're convinced no one else had it as hard as this. No way. Are you kidding me? I don't understand. She got up in the morning and she looked tired. And I said, honey, why don't you get more sleep? And she said to me, you're going to tell me what to do. And I said, I didn't mean to tell you what to do. I just said, you're tired. Why don't you get more sleep? Right. So why don't you get more sleep? Wait a second. Did I say anything to hurt you? No, you didn't say anything to hurt me. Wait a second. So why are you all upset at me? I'm not all upset at you. You're not all upset at me. What do you mean? You certainly seem upset at me. So stop going by what seems like it. Oh, easy. Wait, what did I do? I offered you a drink. No, I told you, you take the drink. Excuse me? What did I do, Rabbi? Explain to me in that conversation what I did wrong. What did I do wrong? I'll give you a whole list of things. Wait a second. Right, you can give me a whole list of things. What we will be discussing this year is where the misunderstandings come from. But the first thing you have to be prepared for is there's no such thing as this facade, they lived happily ever after. Either you got it right or you got it wrong. Either you fell into love or, well, now we fell out of love. I'm sorry, it's all over. No such thing. Marriage is about building. If you're prepared to build and work and make it work, you're prepared to get married. If you're going to walk into marriage with this idea, oh, it's just right, it's going to be right forever. No, it's not going to be right forever unless you're willing to make it right forever. That involves making it work. There's no such thing as two people, two thinking adult people who can just get married. If you're a dog, if you're a cat, no problem. Woof, woof, remains woof, woof. We're fine, no problem. I'll share my bone, you share your bone. We'll run after one another. Great. Everything's great. If you're a human being, things are dynamic. Life involves a lot of conversation, a lot of misunderstandings. So then, you know what? Things are going to get rough. And that's normal. That is normal. There's no other way about it. Those good marriages that you see, if they're really good, all it means is they work through all those hardships. And remember, everyone's convinced, my marriage is much harder than what you think. You have no idea what I'm going through. Right. But the guy 2 months ago said the same thing, and the guy 2 months before him said the same thing too. So what do we say? Rule number one, you're ready to get married, you're ready to work, and you're discarding that idea of those marriages that just land from heaven and everything just works, and everyone's just smiley and easygoing and everything's great. No, life doesn't work that way. But it'll get there. As we will discuss during the course of the year, when you build and build and build, and there is a tremendous mutual investment, and then there is a tremendous confidence in one another, and there's a tremendous confidence in their relationship, and there's a tremendous positive feeling from one to the other, so then you could really be in that relationship where you sometimes say something that was wrong and was hurtful and the other side is willing to just laugh it off, and they say something and you're willing to laugh it off because you've built to that point. It's not because you had that perfect match that's why it works. No. If you've built to that point, so then you will have those misunderstandings and you'll be able to work through them. And then you approach what we began our class with. You approach that relationship, which is the answer to a person's emotional and spiritual needs, where the home becomes the foundation of a person's strength and stability and happiness, and it's everything you're imagining it's going to be, but it takes time, and it takes a lot of building. And Be'ezrat Hashem, as we learn through the year, we're going to see what is all this work we're talking about, what is all this building we're talking about. We will explore with real-life examples, as you're seeing now. We will explore and learn and slowly, hopefully, gain an understanding with which we will take these tools and build.